For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today is Wednesday, September 23rd. What to know today about another major milestone in the coronavirus pandemic and what's predicted to happen next. Also, we'll break down the deal that may help the U.S. avoid a government shutdown, and we'll tell you why Louisville, Kentucky is declaring a state of emergency just in case. Plus, NASA outlines its plan for the next moon mission. Which county is the healthiest in the country? And it's not your average dating app. This one is for your pets. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, unfortunately, we start today with another devastating milestone in the coronavirus crisis. The U.S. death toll officially surpassed 200,000. That's roughly the equivalent of the entire population of Salt Lake City, Utah, or Grand Rapids, Michigan. And in comparison, the annual death toll for the flu is usually a fraction of that. The CDC says the flu kills between 12,000 and 61,000 Americans each year. As for COVID-19, the U.S. passed the 200,000 mark less than 7 months after the first reported American death. Sadly, an average of about 800 more Americans are still dying each day. And a model from the University of Washington predicts the U.S. death toll will nearly double by the end of this year. There is some silver lining, though. The percentage of infected people who ultimately die from the coronavirus is lower than it was at the beginning of the pandemic. Axios says that's partly because doctors have gotten better at treating this disease, and partly because outbreaks are most common among younger people who are at lower risk of death. The CDC says about 70% of Americans who have lost their lives to COVID-19 were over the age of 65. Still, public health experts have warned cases and deaths are expected to get worse again as cooler weather moves people indoors and into tight, enclosed spaces. And the start of flu season could overwhelm healthcare systems. So Americans are being urged not to give in to the pandemic fatigue and to keep their guards up in order to keep the numbers down. Oh, and the CDC recommends getting a flu shot by the end of next month. A decision is expected soon in the case of Breonna Taylor, the EMT who was shot and killed by police in her own home in Louisville, Kentucky, back in March. Ever since, protesters around the world have been calling for the three officers involved to be fired and charged with crimes, but the case has been under investigation. Well, now the city is preparing for a strong reaction to whatever the decision may be. So strong, in fact, that Louisville's mayor signed two executive orders. One to implement a state of emergency in the city. It allows the mayor to implement curfews or to ask for assistance from other U.S. agencies as needed. The other executive order blocked parking and access to downtown. And that one has already been violated. Protesters met last night and marched down the middle of closed roads and barricades. The Louisville Metro Police Department also declared a state of emergency separate from the city order. That means all officers will be on 12-hour shifts, and all time off this week was canceled. One of the officers involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting reportedly sent an email to more than 1,000 of his colleagues. He wrote, regardless of the outcome, quote, I know we did the legal, moral, and ethical thing that night. Remember, the night Breonna Taylor died, the officers say they were looking for drugs in her apartment, though they didn't find any. Instead, Taylor's boyfriend was there. He says he thought the officers were intruders since they weren't in uniform, so he fired one shot, shooting a police officer in the leg. Officers fired back more than 20 times and ended up shooting and killing Breonna Taylor. So when exactly will the attorney general release the findings of his investigation? Well, the mayor and police chief both say they're not sure yet, but they do expect it to come out soon. Well, we're just 1 week away from a possible government shutdown, and it seems a last-minute deal will prevent it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin apparently came up with a compromise to avoid the shutdown. This was a top priority since the current funding package only lasts another week. And to be clear, this time we're not talking about COVID-specific relief. This is to fund overall government operations, a deadline faced every year. And if a shutdown were to happen, key government agencies like the Pentagon and the Department of Health and Human Services would have to shut down certain operations. Instead, Pelosi announced a new deal, which includes tens of billions of dollars in aid for farmers, which Republicans and the White House have been pushing for. And in return, Republicans agreed to add in nearly $8 billion in nutrition assistance for hungry American families. Well, it overwhelmingly passed in the U.S. House yesterday. Aides told the Wall Street Journal the Senate is expected to approve it this week as well, then send it to President Trump, who will likely sign it. And he needs to sign by September 30th to keep the government going. The first presidential debate of the general election is just 6 days away. It's the first time President Trump and his Democratic challenger, Joe Biden, will come face-to-face during this election cycle. And now we know what topics they'll be talking about. Debate organizers say the 90-minute debate will be divided into six 15-minute discussion areas. They include the Supreme Court, the coronavirus pandemic, race and violence in American cities, election integrity, the economy, and both candidates' records. Fox News anchor Chris Wallace chose these topics. He'll be moderating Tuesday's debate. It'll be commercial-free on every major network and cable news channel Tuesday, September 29th. And of course, we'll bring you the highlights right here next week. U.S.-China tensions came to a head at the United Nations General Assembly. First, in a pre-recorded speech, President Trump essentially blamed China for the pandemic and demanded the U.N. hold China accountable for it. Remember, COVID-19 originated in Wuhan, China, late last year, and the U.S. has since called on the international community to investigate the exact source. In his U.N. speech, Trump accused the Chinese government of purposely hiding what it knew about the virus after it was first detected, all the while allowing the virus to spread. Well, then it was Chinese President Xi Jinping's turn to speak. In his recorded remarks, Xi called the coronavirus a crisis shared by everyone and said China acted responsibly to fight back against COVID-19. And he also said, quote, any attempt of politicizing the issue must be rejected. Of course, the uniqueness of a virtual UN assembly makes things even more difficult. Since these speeches were pre-recorded, it's not as easy to reach any kind of consensus through in-person meetings or a mediation. But it seems the UN Secretary General at least tried. He said, we must avoid a new Cold War. And, quote, our world cannot afford a future where the two largest economies split the globe. By the way, separate from that issue, China also announced it'll take steps to be completely carbon neutral by the year 2060. Xi said it'll happen through vigorous policies and measures, though he didn't give any specifics yet. Still, it's a big deal. China has the largest population in the world and is now the world's top producer of greenhouse gases. The UN climate chief called it a significant step forward. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor today, CastleGrade. I've loved hearing from many of you that you're getting these reusable, sustainable, and high-quality masks for better protection as you go to work, while you travel, send kids to school, and more. CastleGrade masks are registered with the FDA as an N95, so you know you're getting that high level of protection for whatever your need. And now CastleGrade has a new filter available for smoke-affected areas of Washington, California, Oregon, and Nevada. It's been independently tested, and the company says the charcoal filters serve a dual purpose for stopping both virus and smoke particles. So you're getting a mask that is safe for both those uses, plus it's a reusable, eco-friendly option. Instead of contributing to the billions of disposable masks and N95s being thrown out at the end of each day, you can just put your CastleGrade mask in the dishwasher for easy cleaning and reuse. So check out all the options and learn more at castlegrade.com and enter the discount code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's castlegrade.com with a new discount code NEWS10, NEWS10, at checkout for 10% off your first order. All right, now back to the news. NASA gave more details now about the plan to send humans back to the moon in 2024. It's a $28 billion project that will land the first woman and next man on the moon. But to get there, the space agency has a lot to do first. For example, it plans to send two test flights around the moon. The first, on track for next year, will be without any humans on board, and the second is slated for 2023. That one will have an astronaut crew. Then NASA says it should be ready for the big launch that will land humans on the moon for the first time since 1972. Once they get there, they'll spend about a week collecting samples, doing science experiments, and searching for resources like water. This mission will also be the first step in developing a base camp on the moon. Still, NASA has some hurdles to clear, especially when it comes to funding. For example, the BBC reports it still needs Congress to approve more than $3 billion to build a landing system. A new report details the top 10 healthiest communities in the U.S. But to be clear, we're not just talking about how often people exercise. This connects a community's economic performance, their education system, access to parks and affordable housing, and more, to how well and how long people live. The hope is that citizens and leaders can use the data to make decisions about policies and practices within their area. So where in the country came in as the healthiest? U.S. News & World Report found Los Alamos County in New Mexico is the healthiest community of all. Runner-up is Douglas County in Colorado. In fact, Colorado actually has 6 communities among the top 10. Overall, the report includes 500 counties. We've linked to a full list in today's show notes. Time magazine has revealed its picks for the 100 most influential people in the world. The nation's leading infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, made the list this year. In fact, the magazine says more health professionals and scientists are on the list than ever before as the U.S. deals with the pandemic. President Trump also made the list, along with the Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris. There were also a few Hollywood stars on there, like the actor Michael B. Jordan, actress and singer Jennifer Hudson, and comedian Ali Wong. And there were athletes like Dwayne Wade and Patrick Mahomes. And of course, you'll find a link to the full list of 100 in today's episode notes. There's a new dating website in town, but this one is for pets. That's right, it's designed to connect dogs, cats, and more for playdates with each other. The website is called Pinder, not to be confused with the human dating app, Tinder. On Pinder, people can build a profile for their pets. Then, much like Tinder, they can swipe right or left on other pet profiles. When there's a match, pet owners are able to chat and potentially set up meet and greets for their pets. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, where we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. And today we're talking about how more companies are trying to address mental health in the workplace. For starters, Microsoft just announced it's partnering with the meditation app Headspace. And this could have a big impact since companies all around the world use Microsoft Teams. This partnership will give employees a virtual commute feature. It's meant to help users organize their work for the day, log their feelings about their workday, and then go into a guided meditation. And Forbes reports other companies have stepped up internally as well. Forbes says more employers have had to learn how to communicate empathy and understanding since the pandemic has caused some inevitable interruptions to workflow. And keep in mind, companies are now considering the mental health needs of 4 generations. Gen Z, which is new to the workforce, millennials who are maturing in their careers, Gen X assuming leadership roles, and boomers who are delaying retirement. Of course, each phase can bring on different stressors, so leading organizations are shifting wellness programs to match the multi-generational workforce. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. Be sure to share this episode if you found it helpful. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.